He said, in essence, and I think I'm paraphrasing him pretty exactly, if the State Education Department and the New York State United Teachers can't reach agreement on a teacher evaluation system by 2 days from now, he will impose one of his own in his budget amendment message, in his 30-day message that's due this coming Thursday. I'd be curious to know your reaction to that.
Well, we knew that that was the governor's position, and the State Teachers Union, New York State United Teachers, is working feverishly to negotiate an out-of-court settlement with the State Education Department. And the express purpose of that is to avoid such an arbitrary imposing of a teacher evaluation system by the governor.
What would you expect if you can't do it? And remember, time is of the essence, certainly. You got 48 hours, the clock's ticking down. If that can't be done, what then?
Well, who knows? We have no clue what kind of an evaluation system the governor would impose. What we do know is that the negotiations between the State Teachers Union and the State Education Department have been ongoing, that progress is being made, and that they are confident that they can have an agreement sometime tomorrow, well before the deadline set by the governor.
What will that agreement, based on what you're hearing right now from the people who are doing the negotiating in Albany, what is that agreement likely to look like?
I think the issues in litigation have to do with variations of the same thing. For example, one of the issues is that whether the law requires that 20% of the teacher's evaluation be based on state tests, or, as the State Ed Department would like it, 40%. Teachers feel that 40% is way too much. Teachers agree that we should not ignore student learning growth, but they think that basing a teacher's evaluation to such a large extent, almost half of the teacher's evaluation, on just state tests would actually do more harm than good.
Of course, what do those state tests actually measure in comparison to what the kids are being presented and expected to learn day-to-day in the classroom?
That's the other key issue at the center of the controversy. If these tests were credible, if teachers had faith in those tests, they wouldn't be opposed to them. But these tests, by and large, ask for what students can memorize, how well they can guess between A, B, C, or D as the right answer. Now, if these tests were performance-based assessments, if the question were not just tell us what you know, but rather tell us what you're able to do with what you know, I think that most of the opposition to such assessments would dissipate.
Now, it's interesting to note that I guess in other countries, first of all, they do have standardized tests, but they're tests in every discrete subject area, not just an overall test in language arts and another one in presumably grade appropriate math, and that's it. They test you in everything, and they test you in a lot of different ways, including asking you to write at some length on subjects. They test you on asking you to do mathematical problems, showing the equations, showing how you do what you do. I remember those tests, as a matter of fact, that were even given here in New York not so many years ago. I don't know if they give those tests anymore, even at the Regents level, but they used to. And those tests were meaningful because you had to show what you could do and what you had learned and how you had learned it, and whether you knew what you were doing, basically. I take it these tests don't do that.
Well, many of them don't, and that's a shame because you're right. When an employer is considering giving you a job, the employer could care less about what you, quote, know. The employer wants to know what you're able to do with what you know. Can you apply your knowledge in useful ways? those tests are far and few in between in our system. The highest performing countries in the world in education, like Finland, for example, or Singapore, or South Korea, they don't use standardized multiple guess tests. They actually ask students to write, to apply knowledge, to do something useful with what they've learned, and we're trying to move in the same direction. The difference between the United States and most other countries is that in most other countries you have fewer tests, but they're more meaningful. Here you have a lot of tests, and usually they have very low credibility and they don't count that much.
It almost sounds like you're saying, if I understand you correctly, that we ought to test kids in a grade appropriate and age appropriate way in K through 12, the same way we test people who are in college with the same kind of test.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, the best testing in the United States educational system happens in graduate school and in kindergarten. In kindergarten, you don't give a child a multiple choice test on how to tie shoelaces. You say, show me if you can tie shoelaces. And if they can, they can. If they can't, they cannot. But to give somebody a multiple choice about tying shoelaces, or for that matter, in arithmetic, making change, makes much more sense than just giving a mathematical problem. Now, surely you have to make sure that students are tested on basics. They have to know their multiplication table. They have to know their numbers and so forth. But the best kinds of tests, the most meaningful kinds of tests for teachers are the same ones that are meaningful for students and employers and anybody with any common sense. Show me what you're able to do with what you know.